Copies of this form can be found as you came up the stairs. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the process that the committee will follow is that the applicant will be heard first, followed by those in support of the application. Next, those registered in opposition are heard, followed by those registered for information. Finally, the applicant may return if he so desires and speak in rebuttal. Please note that when your name is called, it is your opportunity to speak. However, you are not obligated to do so. This is a public hearing brochure, copies of which are available at the registration table. This brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after public hearing. As information, all public hearings are digitally recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department at the number listed in the brochure. Item 1 is a subdivision and rezoning for 186 Furby Street under file DAS Z39 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item 2, a conditional use for 186 Furby Street under file DCU 167271 of 2009D. And item 3, a variance for 186 Furby Street under file DAB 167972 of 2009D. Mr. Chairperson, I have two people registered.
I'm Jeff Harwood, I guess.
Okay. Is that what you want?
Basically, it's an existing parking lot that is conforming to, or doesn't conform right now, that's going to get upgraded and turned into a lot that has enough parking for us. And along Furby Street, we're closing the approach. And we're going to enhance the landscaping, fencing, et cetera, around the property. I don't know. I think the report pretty much, I don't have anything else to add to it.
Well, you have to be able to sway these
I have a question. So who uses the parking lot?
It would be customers of the building.
Okay. It's only for the customers of the building?
Yes.
So was this all existing parking space before?
It's been used as a parking lot for years.
Yeah. So you're just formalizing it with the rezoning and then there's some requirements in here.
Exactly.
I noticed there was one issue with the wrought iron fence that the planning department is saying they wanted at 4 feet rather than 6.
You know what? That's fine. That won't be an issue.
I don't have any further questions at this time. You have a chance to come back and rebut, so if there's any issues that come up.
There's one person here in opposition, so that, and there's nobody else supporting your position here.
Okay.
Specifically. So after he speaks, you'd be able to rebut what he's saying.
Okay.
Good evening, counselors. I'm Brian C. Grant. I live at 103-188 Colony Street. I've been a resident of West Broadway for 14 years. I love my neighborhood. I work in my neighborhood, and I'm very, very disturbed at the number of the surface parking lots that are across the community. As you might know, West Broadway sits as a neighborhood designated by the City of Winnipeg on 0.65 of a square mile. right? And it has 17 large surface parking lots as it is, Great West Life being the largest. And it, right, it takes up two city blocks, Great West Life does, right? And it demolished over 50 houses and businesses on Broadway. In fact, a family member, grandparent, worked in the bakery that was on Broadway. You know, Portage Avenue businesses, right along the back of Good Colony, Balmoral, Young's, Langside, Furby Street, all have abandoned parking lots or partly used apartment blocks, right? Especially the most notable is the McDonald's parking lot, right? It's very underutilized, right? So we have all these spaces, right? All these spaces, you know, for people to come to the neighborhood and, you know, to park and all like that. And again, like behind these streets, all those six streets on Portage Avenue, there was like 60, 80 houses were demolished since roughly the 1970s to make way for these very large surface parking. I think surface parking may support the employees or the customers, like the applicant said, right? And they're going to bring their vehicles downtown, right? But surface parking prevents neighborhoods from growing, you know, socially, right? You know, we want to provide a development, you know, that is mixed, right? And with options such as housing projects, increase the density, of course, of housing. And then we want to bring families, and we want to, you know, provide opportunities for the disabled, youth, seniors, all those kinds of people. Using valuable inner city land for service parking takes away from one of the most important pieces of asset that the community can have for future development. Long after I'm gone or like that, if these surface parking lots can continue to increase, then it'll be a competition with the available other infrastructure, you know, apartment buildings, houses, the other businesses and like that. And we could see the bleeding of the downtown. Like if downtown takes off, we could see the bleeding of the downtown. We already see the bleeding University in Winnipeg across Portage Avenue. We already see Balmoral Hall wanting to expand on Langside Street and everything like that. Well, people need parking, right? So what would be the thing that would be the result? More demolished buildings for parking. And zoning land that on a neighborhood street of Furby Street from R2 to C2 sets a precedent. Most surface parking lots are zone R2 because the owner, the developer, right, has the option to establish new development plans or whatever. They could do housing and green space and like that. I think that it might be one of the only of the 17 big surface parking that is zoned, right, as C2 on those streets. You know, and if you open this up, right, from the R2 to C2, then you're actually establishing something. Even though I know that to Michael's report even says it's just conditional use and everything like that, the applicant come back and ask for it, starts grooming up the parking lot with a fence and green space and like that. And people just get used to it, just like all the other surface parking lots that are in the neighborhood. Right? And I believe in the document said that they were going to establish 109 parking stalls. I don't know how many people work in the old tool and fastener building, but it was a very unutilized piece of green space with some gravel on it. Only had a few people parking on it every day because there was very few employees working in there. And very few people visiting or like that. Actually, West Broadway Development Corporation in the past actually had green top box gardens on there at one end, right? But when the land went up for sale, they were told to get them off, right? I don't think the surface parking states to the community this community's growing, it's changing, it's inclusive and everything like that. I think it actually tells people to stay away. This is a place where just people come park, you know, from other neighborhoods that, you know, that work in this building or that come from the capital regions, right? And I think it's a deterrent, eh, for the continuing success of what West Broadway has seen so far. And I think we want to, you know, capitalize on that success, right? West Broadway has become a very attractive neighborhood. And I don't want to say that I'm against business. I think having business on Sherbrooke is a very, very important thing. But I think we need to encourage the walkability of West Broadway is wonderful in this bike, you know, cycling. We have public transit. I think we don't want to encourage people to bring more cars to our neighborhood. We've already seen that with Great West Life, not just their big parking lot, but all down Good Street and Colony. I see them every morning because I get up at the same time, and all those employees come and park on all those vacant lots that used to be housing. And they're all knocked down because they can't provide. You know, they've got 4,000 plus people working in there. So I'm not saying this is the same capacity, but for everyone that you know, surface parking, you build, all you do is encourage more vehicle traffic and like that. I noticed that in the call for action document of our Winnipeg recommends, right, that we want to integrate it, Winnipeg, more healthier living outcomes. I don't think this surface parking, right, doesn't encourage those kinds of outcomes, right? And I know we want to strike the balance between business and surrounding community, right? But you got to look at the local priorities. You know, what do the people want? The fact that there's no one here, right? It means that West Broadway is still a fragile neighborhood. You know, I don't think this would happen in River Heights. I don't think it would happen in Fort Rouge. I think you would have just a pile of people in there like that. But the fact that, you know, West Broadway people are not that much engaged in anything like that. They just allow these things to happen, you know. Anyways, I'm only speaking for myself, right? And so I'm much against this project. I'd like to see more housing and green space. I think it's a potentially big block that could see some really great change in like that and spruce up the neighborhood and bring taxes to the city and bring those families and those people to, you know, to join in on our neighborhood success.
Brian,
you know,
this is used.
No, it hasn't been. I mean, when it was Tool & Fastener, since I've been there, you know, up and down the street myself and everything like that, there's hardly any cars, just the people visiting looking for tools and everything like that. So at any one time, there's 4 to 6 cars and everything like that. And the 2 employees that work in the place. It was not even used as a parking lot for everybody else. You know, when it wasn't like, you know, rent a stall, you know, or because it was non-conforming. So it was just a bunch of lime gravel thrown on top of grass. Eh? It was mostly grown over, right, if anything. You know, grown over.
Yeah. I meant to ask the person, and he's got a chance to come back, but mm-hmm. Are you aware if there was any consultation at all with the community in terms of this project?
No.
And I can give him a chance to answer when he comes back up, but in terms of the Development Corporation or anything, did you hear?
Not that I know of. They might have had a conversation with Molly McCracken and the ED, but I was never consulted. And I tried to talk to John Winthrop because it was his write-up. And John never got back to me because usually zoning change documents, they usually quote our housing plan or community plan about you know where the applicant should get contact or something like that, how they should get a kind of sense of, you know, maybe a mixed development option or something like that, right?
How does that fit? Like, does your housing plan speak to this?
Yeah, actually, there was a particular goal and objective that we wanted to reduce the number of surface parkings, you know, to work with our nonprofit housing providers and private developers to see if we could create teams to go buy the McDonald's vacant lot. It's not even used. McDonald's doesn't even allow anybody to even park on it. It just sits there. And for how many years since they moved the restaurant down there? I know. I mean, as you know, the grass and the trees are coming through the concrete and everything like that. So I mean, like, what do we do? Like, how do we get control over our neighborhood again? You know.
Well, Brian, I'm asking your advice because if you think about it, I've got this in front. I've got this report in front of me from the mm-hmm. planning department saying mm-hmm. this is okay mm-hmm. to approve. This like permanent, making this permanent.
I know it's permanent.
Parking space of 100-something stalls. Mm-hmm. The planning department says this is okay. On what possible basis can I say no? It isn't. I mean, and what possible outcome other than this be a parking lot is there at this point, realistically? I'm just being the devil's advocate a bit here. I don't, like, I'm in this position of making this decision right now. What other option is there? I mean, it's privately owned. Mm-hmm. And the planning department is going to do a bunch of improvements. They are, like, I do see some improvements in here, the access and the fence, and it is probably pretty ugly looking right now. But if it could suddenly be freed up for some amazing development other than parking, I'd be quite happy.
Like, you should go down the back of Good Street because there's 4 abandoned parking lots now. 4 abandoned parking lots, just like this one was too.
Where?
On Good Street.
Mm-hmm.
4 of them now.
Describe them.
Plus, I mean, well, Good Street between Broadway and the St. Mary's little curve and mm-hmm. like that. There's 2 houses. There's 200 Good Street, which is a low-income housing family, building about 6 stories, right? And then all those vacant lots, right? Right. They've only got 1 kind of working like that. I mean, it doesn't give us any solace that we can move forward as a community to grow and to attract all the people that need to come downtown to live, right? One, we can't get at them because, you know, of course, we tried to ask when the property was up for sale, we tried to ask for a split of the property, right? Would the person, you know, sell the building and sell the land to us? We had a bit of a consortium that was willing to, you know, to buy that land and turn it into housing. That's what we would have done.
Brian, do you know what the Development Corporation's position is on this?
Where the board is?
Yeah.
No, I don't know where the board is on this. because, you know, the board is made up of business people that actually own Sherbrooke. Of course, they're not going to be wanting not to attract business to the neighborhood. I don't want either. I don't know how
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
I don't
but,
have.
But they also, Brian, they also oversee the housing plan and other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I just wonder. Like, I would like to have input from some people in the community about this. If there's any point to that, mm-hmm. Do you think there's any point to that, or is it just? I mean,
well,
I don't know what you're
isn't
suggesting.
Isn't this the public consultation? Oh, I'm against service parking because I live there.
You're
I can't bring up my children there. I can't bring up my grandchildren there if they're just going to stare at vacant lots or abandon vacant lots.
Okay, because this is taking an existing one and improving it, but then it's making it permanently.
I mean, those other ones were too, Jenny, on Good Street. You know, I've been there since 94. I was shocked, Dave, that now they're unutilized. You know, the big for sale signs on them, and, you know, the plugs are gone, everything's gone. They're just sitting there.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're not encouraging, you know. And this is on a neighborhood street. This is on Furby Street. There's homeowners and apartment buildings and everything on that street, down from Crossways and everything like that. It's a very, you know, going neighborhood and everything like that. I mean, having a massive parking lot right in the middle of those blocks and everything like that, I think it just takes away from the opportunities that we have. I mean, you know, we're talking about our Winnipeg and about the future planning of the city and everything like that, and here we're planning for surface more surface parking in West Broadway.
You're saying that these service parking lots are not fully utilized. Is that weird?
Yeah, because most
well,
of West Broadway doesn't have a car.
Other ones other than
I don't have a car. I moved to West Broadway because I don't have a car. I don't want a car. I want a neighborhood where I can walk around, social network, and you know, decrease crime and, you know, increase the safety of people, increase the housing opportunities, community gardening, you know,
yeah.
Opportunities. Come on. You know, I mean, and I'm actually the majority of people that live in those apartment buildings and those houses don't have cars. This is great about West Broadway is we're turning it into one of these healthy communities of tomorrow. You know, yeah, and I don't see that turning something into a vacant lot, vacant lot into surface parking is good for us for the future.
Okay, Brian.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor.
Thanks for coming down.
The applicant.
I'm just wondering if I could talk to the planner, or should I?
Well, we should talk to the planner right
wait,
now.
And then he can come back up. But I just
yeah.
I had a number of questions for
sure.
The planner. Now, there's some sort. I understand there's a PDO that goes up to Broadway on Sherbrooke.
Mm-hmm.
That stops
Sherbrooke,
at Broadway.
Sherbrooke.
Would if that PDO extended all the way to Portage Avenue, would it have any impact on this?
You mean to Furby?
Yeah.
I believe that. Not accessory surface parking lot. Let me just double check the zoning bylaw. It's either conditional or not permitted within the PDO. So I'll check that real quick.
Yeah. Because it seems like let me check that. And they're applying for a conditional.
Give me just another second.
Okay, well, but they're applying for conditional use.
They're applying to change the zoning from residential to commercial.
Yeah.
And then within the commercial districts, the C2 districts, parking lots are a conditional use. So they need the zoning change first, and then they need a conditional use on top of that, which would be, if they were on the Sherbrooke side, they would probably be zoned C2 already, and then they would require the conditional use.
Do you know if the planning department had any feedback from the community at all? Or?
I didn't handle this application, so I can't really speak to the level of consultation that took place by the planning department. What I can say is I know the mindset of the planner in writing this report. The site is an eyesore right now. And the planning department was contacted by the new owner of the property. He just purchased the property recently. He indicated that he wanted to make an investment in the parking lot to bring it up to current bylaw standards in terms of attractive fencing and landscaping and
what's the use
of
the building going to be?
I think it's a computer company. Yeah, and they were moving in. There were a number of employees that were going to be coming in, and they wanted to accommodate.
So there's going to be 109 parking spots?
Well,
is that accurate?
Maybe the applicant can speak to that more.
Yeah.
But from the planning board's perspective, you know, we could wish for something else to happen there. But like you said, it is privately owned. And there was a willingness on the part of the owner to make an investment to make it not look like an eyesore anymore. So we thought that was the lesser of two evils, essentially.
Yeah, I do get that from the report. That there's there were a number of requirements, you know, for landscaping, fencing.
That's right.
And it is an eyesore at this time. But I guess the concern I have, well, first of all, is I don't have a sense of the community concern or what that is or isn't. I mean, I appreciate Brian coming, but he's one person. I mean, normally when we do things in West Broadway, we consult with the West Broadway Development Corporation or other agencies. And I guess I'm just concerned that maybe should take place before, especially considering, you know, housing. So, but on that PDO issue, if the PDO affected that area, would it change anything at all? Or?
In this case, no. It would still require a zoning approval for a parking service.
So it wouldn't change anything anyway. Okay. I guess the real concern is the thought of permanent making surface parking permanent on the scale. But on the other hand, oh, I just don't know what to do. I don't like this at all. But okay, well, I'm just saying I don't like the lack of information in terms of what the read on it is with the community.
I feel that the initial call from the owner on this, like months ago, and I had indicated to him that he should contact the West Broadway Development Corporation.
Yeah. I'll ask if they did, but
yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Do you want
to? I got a question for Michael. Michael,
yeah.
So
you
when we did this,
Brian, about green space, but
yes.
And the service parking lot, did you build that into consideration?
Again, I didn't prepare the report personally, but I know that the mindset of the planning department really was this is an eyesore, a blight on the community. You know, somebody is willing to invest and clean it up, and there's a new business moving into the community, so that's a positive as well. And I think they were just thinking that this is the lesser of two evils. There is a willingness to create more open space and a willingness to create more housing, but this is a privately owned property, and an owner who's willing to do something with it immediately. So,
okay.
Is there a on the zoning? It was mentioned briefly. I'm not sure if I caught it right. Do we have a zone C2? Could it stay in an R2 zone?
A portion of it is existing non-conforming. If you look at the aerial photograph, there's a portion that's gravel on the southwest corner. And then immediately to the north of that, there's kind of a weed-strewn lot that's not graveled right now.
Sure.
So if you were to reject the application, what would happen is the sort of the southernmost portion of that property would remain as a sort of a gravel surface parking lot without any landscaping or fencing. And then the northernmost portion of it, they wouldn't be able to use that for parking. It would remain vacant.
I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to find the map so I have some idea what they're talking about.
So maybe what I'll do is I'll just show you the aerial photograph here.
Yeah, there's a camera. There it is.
That's not this.
So here, this portion of the lot has existing non-conforming rights as a parking lot.
Yeah, so.
This portion doesn't. So if the application was rejected, this could remain as a gravel parking lot without any landscaping. This portion would stay vacant.
Presently, this is... R2?
The entire thing is R2. Yeah.
Okay, non-conforming though, and this one is just an open lot, so.
Yes.
Okay.
So the non-conforming means what exactly?
It means that it could literally stay as a parking lot forever.
Well, like that's the problem is that they already have these rights. Like if they didn't have that non-conforming right, you know, you'd have an ability to say it reverts back to R2 at some point or reverts
to
something
else.
But we're already in a corner in terms of it being parking forever on this part, and then there's this piece in the middle. And that's the dilemma. And it is a terrible eyesore, and I don't think it's realistic. And some of the stuff that Brian was talking about was a whole bunch of other parking lots, not the one we're talking about, but are also issues. Anyways, go ahead. If you have anything to add. Sorry, we just have to think through these things.
Now you can answer.
Come upon us quickly.
Okay, I think most of them have been addressed here on everybody's point of view so far, but unfortunately, part of the problem is Sherbrooke, and there's just no parking there. I've been going to this parking lot myself for probably 30 years. When B.A. Robinson, or Robinson Lighting was there, this has been a parking lot for a long time. Not just two or three or
yeah.
4 years. It's been there. I've been in construction for over 30 years, and I've been going there for over 30 years. As B.A. Robinson for many years, that it's always been parking back there. I can't speak to the other areas and other lots. I don't think that has anything really to do with this particular application. But what the owner is intending to do is certainly upgrade this piece of property in terms of where it's at today, and with fencing, landscaping, certainly there's not going to be an access off of Furby anymore, so it'll restrict the traffic to Sherbrooke, to the lane, and back out to Sherbrooke, rather than coming down off of Furby. Anything that's going to happen is certainly going to be an improvement from what's there right now. Unfortunately, the person has bought the building and the property. He's intending to move a business into the area. He does have employees. He needs a place for them to park. I mean, they can't be parking, you know, miles away. And the fact that there has been parking there, as I said, for the last 30 plus years, or even longer, I don't even know, that's just how long I've been going there. So.
Okay, can I just ask you, do you know if the owner consulted at all with the Development Corporation or anybody? Did they talk with anybody
you know
in
what?
The neighborhood about it?
I'd be lying if I told you. I don't know for
you
sure.
You really don't know?
I don't know. As a matter of fact, my partner made the application.
Yeah.
He's out of town right now, and I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
How many employees are going to be here? Do you know?
Be honest with you, I don't know. I know he has quite a few. I know there's a number of them, because there's a lot of technicians that will be in here. So I think in the planning report it does speak to the number of stalls and I think the use of the building and how many stalls are required under that use is maybe being addressed in here.
Yeah, maybe, Michael, maybe you could clarify that, but I think that's all the questions I have for you, unless you have anything else you have.
Do you know what the square footage of the building is?
Offhand, no.
Find out.
Yeah, it would just be good to have some sense of the scale.
Can you log me into the computer, please?
Oh, here, come use mine, since it's open.
Where's the building?
Maps.
Oh, okay, so the building's on Sherbrooke.
Yeah.
It
used to be
this is commercial here, and then these are houses here.
Yes, here, yeah.
What's this, 400?
That's the apartment block.
That's the apartment block, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all residential. Oh,
yeah.
Unfortunate, Brian. The problem is the lot here is going to be a lot, no matter what we do, this huge chunk of it. Well, that's the problem. So it's really difficult to do anything about it. You know, and at least they're going to fix it up. It's like cutting a baby in half.
Why? Do they have to cut it in half? Can't we have to prove this and leave that?
Well, I mean, I suppose, yeah, but the question is, I guess they're saying he'll improve this if we let them have the whole thing, but he won't if you don't mind me asking, we're just trying to think this through, like, is the owner's intention, like, the existing lot that's been there forever that's currently being used, couldn't, play the devil's advocate here, couldn't the owner just simply fix that part up that's already got the conforming rights, like, do you have to have the whole thing? Why do you have to have that amount of parking, I guess?
I believe
it's a lot of parking for a building like this.
That they've asked for that because that's what they need for parking.
They believe they need.
I believe they
How
need
many
that
stalls are in the p- part that's non-conforming? Like, how many do they have right now in the Like, that's pretty, it's more than half of the space.
I don't know, because it's never been a really, I mean,
it's not
it's
been
just,
built properly today.
It was never, you know, paved and set out as a, maybe it was years ago, but
okay.
I think a lot of people parked kind of wherever, from
okay.
my recollection.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I guess the rest of our questions are
yeah.
probably for the planner, just to answer some of those questions about the parking.
Okay.
Sure.
But thank you.
And that's,
unless you have anything
right.
else.
No,
you want
I don't
to tell
think
us?
So.
Okay.
Thank
you.
So what we have, it depends on what the use is of the property, if it's an office use or if it's a retail use. If it's...
is it office or retail?
Retail.
Sure.
Is it retail?
It would be
retail. Yeah.
Retail. Okay, so for retail, the bylaw would require 88 parking spaces for this property, but there is a reduction because it's within the urban infill area of 20%, so they would need 70 spaces
okay.
to accommodate that use.
And how many spaces with the whole space, that if we were to approve this, how many spaces?
I think it's 109 spaces.
109, and they need 70?
Correct.
So that's 30 extra stalls. And I guess...
parking is a problem there.
Yeah, but this parking lot is going to be simply for this building, right? And parking is a problem for this area?
Well, oh, they'll sell parking. I'm sure they'll actually lots of them. If they don't need them, they'll... They'll have some pay-as-you-go or hooches beside them.
Legally, they'll have the right to sell parking as well because
yeah.
it's a non-accessory parking lot. So they can lease out space to anybody, basically.
Well, I mean, I'm not really interested in creating parking for sale. I'm interested in planning, you know. We've got a parking lot that we're going to have no matter what. Like, I don't have any problem with that staying a parking lot because we can't change that anyway. But I guess I'm just thinking, do we really want to have a sea of parking that we don't necessarily require?
They
under
require, it's over 70% just is what's required for the use. And I know there's a lot of employees there. And I think that they would need the 100 or so stalls in there. I mean, you're not talking about very much being left after you take what you really need for parking.
And visitors.
And then I suppose if they, I guess the, do you have any comments about like why the planning department wouldn't consider any other options, like perhaps, you know, just doing the part that we have to do kind of thing,
yeah,
and approving that? Like, why didn't they do that is what
I
I'm trying to get at.
I think what's missing here is a needs analysis, to be honest with you, from the applicant showing that they require that many parking spaces.
Well, yeah, that's the question. We don't
yeah.
have that.
Yeah, I spoke with the applicant, again, early on when he first phoned the department, and he indicated that he had employees and that he required this many spaces to accommodate all his employees, but we don't have any evidence of that at all. So if you were going to be looking for more information, I would suggest that you ask the applicant to provide a more detailed analysis of his parking requirements and how many employees are going to be working there, how many customers are going to be.
Do you mind if I ask? We haven't closed delegations officially.
No,
do you mind
okay.
if I just ask him a question? What are the timelines on this project? Like, if it were to be delayed for 1 month, would it be a problem? Or the when it's going to were they intending to bring the business in?
We have already started some demolition within the building, and the intent was to move forward quickly with the interior improvements in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think where he's leaving.
Wouldn't it be better to have the snow and winter over with to do the anything with the parking lot?
Well, the parking lot, obviously, we wouldn't be able to own the parking lot until midday.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to determine, and forgive me for taking time, I need to think this through, is if there's any, like, say a needs analysis were to come back and say, they didn't need that many spaces. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get from the planning department is, what is there another recommendation, theoretically, if they didn't need that amount of parking, that would make sense in terms of what we would approve here that would be different, or is there really basically we're going to end up with the same thing? I don't want to delay them for no reason is what I'm trying to get at. Like, what's the end game here? Is there another alternative, or are we just stuck with this being a big parking lot? With some significant improvements, I might add.
I think it's always important to, when somebody wants to rezone commercial land, to make sure that there's actually a need to add that commercial land. There's actually a provision in Plan Winnipeg that talks about only adding additional commercial land if there's a demonstrated need for that. So it's always helpful to find out what the business requirements are, because we don't want to, like you said, add more surface parking if it's not necessary. If it turns out that they can't demonstrate that they need the additional parking, you could always basically reject the application. That would leave them with half the parking lot. But the result of that would be that we would still end up with an eyesore in the neighborhood. We'd still have essentially a gravel lot with no landscaping and no fencing. So, and if they ended up requiring more parking in the future, we could end up having parking spilling over onto the residential streets. So I guess those are